Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 446. We are in the book of Acts. We will be beginning in chapter 25. We may finish up Acts today. There's not a ton of notes that I'll have to read. It just sort of finishes the stories. We left off in chapter 24. Where Felix, the governor, left Shaul bound to do the Yahudim a favor, because they were giving him a fit. They wanted Shaul dead. So Festus, Porcius Festus, came in as governor of that province for the Romans. So that's where chapter 25 picks up. In case you have missed any of my shows, they are on my website. And pretty much all of them in the EFR archives under Word for Word. My website is https, as in sugar, :// www.pastor-steve.com. People have been typing in some incorrect things, and they don't get the website. They get all kinds of other stuff. So let's get rolling here. Verse 1 of chapter 25 of the book of Acts. Festus, therefore, having come to the province, 3 days later went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Verse 2. And the high priest and the chief men of the Yehudim informed him against Shaul, and they begged him, verse 3, asking a favor against him, that he would send him to Jerusalem, making a plot along the way to kill him. Now, this is an Edomite priest, and the chief men of the Yehudim were either Edomites or Israelites that had been highly influenced by the Talmudists and were plotting evil against Shaul, which is their nature. Christ said you were murderers from the beginning because they were of the seed of Cain. And he outed them. And they're behaving true to form here. Verse 4. Then, indeed, Festus answered that Shaul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was about to set out shortly. Verse 5. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him. In other words, back it up. Don't just say, oh, we want to kill this guy. Show that he's guilty of something. Verse 6. And having spent more than 10 days among them, he went down to Caesarea. And on the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Shaul to be brought. Verse 7. And when he had come, the Yehudim who had come down from Jerusalem stood about, bringing many and heavy charges against Shaul, which they were unable to prove. They do the same thing then that they were doing now. They lied. Oh, you're this, you're that, you're a Nazi. Oh, boy, that gets old. I mean, it really does, folks. I mean, it is so lame. Verse 8. While Shaul said in his own defense, neither against the Torah of the Yehudim, nor against the set-apart place, nor against Caesar did I commit any sin. Verse 9. But Festus, wishing to do the Yehudim a favor, answering Shaul, said, do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and be judged before me there concerning these matters? Verse 10. And Shaul said, I am standing at Caesar's judgment seat where I should be judged. To the Yehudim I have done no wrong, as you know well enough. Verse 11, for if indeed I do wrong or have committed whatever deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if there is none at all in these matters of which these men accuse me, no one is able to give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. He was a Roman, and he could do that. Verse 12. Then Festus, having talked with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. It was in the form of a question. You have appealed to Caesar? You know, have you? Really? Okay, that's where you're going to go. To Caesar you shall go. And that probably angered the Yehudim. verse 13. And certain days having passed, Sovereign Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. Verse 14. And when they had spent many days there, Festus laid Shaul's case before the sovereign, saying, there's a man here whom Felix left as a prisoner. In other words, Shaul had been there for years. No speedy trial in those days. Verse 15. About whom the chief priests and the elders of the Yehudim informed me. In other words, these were the Edomites. Okay? They wanted to get rid of the Christians. Well, they still do. About whom the chief priests and the elders of the Yehudim informed me when I was in Jerusalem asking for a judgment against him. To them I answered, it is not the Roman practice to give up any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face and has a chance to answer for himself concerning the charge against him. Verse 17. They therefore, having come together without any delay, I sat on the judgment seat the next day and commanded the man to be brought in. Verse 18. When the accusers stood up, they brought no charge against him such as I expected. Verse 19, but had some questions against him about their own worship and about a certain Yeshua who had died, whom Shaul was claiming to be alive. Verse 20, and being uncertain how to investigate these matters, I asked whether he wished to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. Verse 21. But when Shaul appealed to be kept for the decision of Augustus, I ordered him to be kept until I send him to Caesar. Verse 22. And Agrippa said to Festus, I was wishing also to hear the man myself. And he said, tomorrow you shall hear him. Verse 23. Therefore, on the next day, Agrippa and Bernice, having come with great show and having entered the place of hearing with the commanders and the eminent men of the city, Shaul was brought in, pardon me, at the order of Festus. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. Wet that whistle. Verse 24. And Festus said, Sovereign Agrippa and all the men present here with us, you see this one about whom all the community of the Yehudim pleaded with me, both at Jerusalem and here, shouting that he ought not to be living any longer. Well, that was a stacked crowd. That wasn't everybody. That was just picked ones that were trying to get him killed. Verse 25. But I, having found that he had committed none at all deserving death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. Verse 26. I have no definite matter to write to my master concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him out before you and most of all before you, Sovereign Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I might have somewhat to write. Verse 27. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to signify the charges against him. In other words, it was all nonsense and lies from these Edomite priests. And they do the same thing today. They call names and they vilify people and they make accusations and they can't back them up. It's like the Holocaust, okay? How many times have they revised the numbers downward? They just did it again. It was 6 million, and then it's this, and then it's that. Oh, the death camps. Now, they were work camps because these were criminal elements that were financially subverting the government. Well, they interred them in work camps. And the main cause of death from starvation, well, the German soldiers were starving too. Toward the end of the war, and the war killed a lot of people, a lot of innocent people, a lot of guilty people. Take Dresden, for example. That was not a military city, but they bombed it into nothing. Killed all the people there. Was that justified? No. No, and the Germans today bear guilt because of the propaganda put forth by the Israeli lobby. I didn't say Israelite, I said Israeli. Okay, the Talmudists. They have to keep that alive. Oh, Nazis, Nazis. Oh, please. That ends chapter 25. Let's get into chapter 26. Verse 1. And Agrippa said to Shaul, "You are allowed to speak for yourself." Then Shaul stretched out his hand and made his defense. Verse 2. I think myself blessed, Sovereign Agrippa, because today I shall make my defense before you concerning all of which I am accused by the Yehudim. Verse 3. You, being most of all an expert, knowing of all practices and questions which have to do with the Yehudim, so please hear me patiently. Verse 4. Truly then, all the Yehudim know my way of life from youth, which I led from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem. Verse 5, and for verse 5 of chapter 26, you can reference Acts 23, verse 6, that's Acts 23, 6, and Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, Philippians 3, 5, verse 5. Since they have known me from the first, if they wish to witness that I lived as a Pharisee according to the strictest sect of our observance. Verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the expectation of the promise made by Elohim to our fathers. Verse 7. To which our 12 tribes, earnestly serving Elohim night and day, expect to attain. Verse 8. Concerning this expectation, O Sovereign Agrippa, I am accused by the Yehudim. Verse 8, and you can reference 2 Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 9. Why is it considered unbelievable among you if Elohim raises the dead? In other words, what's beyond the power of Yahweh? If he wants to raise the dead, he will. And verses 9 through 11, you can reference Acts chapter 8, verse 3. That's Acts 8:3 and chapter 22, verses 4 and 5. Okay? Verse 9. Therefore, indeed, I thought within myself that I ought to do much against the name of Yeshua of Nazareth. Verse 10. Which also I did in Jerusalem, and I shut up many of the set apart ones in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. In other words, he was doing the bidding of the Edomites. And when they were put to death, I gave my vote against them. He aided and abetted the murder of the set apart ones before Yeshua appeared to him. Okay? Verse 11. And punishing them often in all the congregations, I compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Verse 12. While thus engaged, as I was journeying to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, verse 13. At midday, along the highway, O Sovereign, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. Verse 14. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Shaul, Shaul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the prods. In other words, like an animal that was being prodded to go along, he was kicking, not wanting to go. Okay, well, that's what that means. Verse 15. And I said, who are you, Master? And he said, I am Yeshua, whom you persecute. Verse 16. But rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you a servant and a witness both of what you saw and of those which I shall reveal to you. Verse 17, delivering you from the people and the nations to whom I now send you. And here's his purpose. Verse 18, and you could reference Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and 7, and Isaiah 60, verse 2 and 3, and Revelations chapter 21, verse 24. That's Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, and 60, 2 and 3, and Revelations 21, 24. Verse 18, to open their eyes. This is his job, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to enlighten them. And the authority of Satan to Elohim, in other words, turn them away from being under the thumb of Satan, in order for them to receive forgiveness of sins, okay, and an inheritance among those who are set apart by belief in me. Verse 19, therefore, Sovereign Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Verse 20, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and in all the country of Yehuda. That's the land of Judea, okay? And to the nations, those are the nations in dispersion, that they should repent and turn to Elohim and do works worthy of repentance. And you can reference Acts chapter 9, verses 28 and 29. That's Acts 9, 20, 28, and 29. And reference Matthew 16, 27 as well. Verse 21. That is why the Yehudim seized me in the set-apart place and tried to kill me. Not the people of the tribe of Judah, but these Edomites that were Judeans by residence. Verse 22, therefore, having obtained help from Elohim, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other than what the prophets and Moshe said would come. Verse 23, reference 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. And Isaiah 42, verse 6. And 49, verse 6. Isaiah 42 and 49, both verse 6. Verse 23 here, that the Messiah would suffer, would be the first to rise from the dead. He would proclaim light to the people and to the nations, the dispersed nations of Israel. Verse 24, and while saying this in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Shaul, you are mad. Much learning is turning you to madness. And he didn't believe. Verse 25. But Shaul said, I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but I speak words of truth and sense. Verse 26. For the sovereign, before whom I also speak boldly, knows these matters. For I am persuaded that none of these are hidden from him. For this has not been done in a corner. In other words, it's not secret. Verse 27. Sovereign Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Verse 28. And Agrippa said to Shaul, with a little, you might persuade me to become a messianist. Verse 29. And Shaul said, much or little, I pray to Elohim that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become such as I also am, except for these chains. This ruler was an Israelite. Okay? He's preaching to another Israelite, and he was just on the verge of believing. Okay? Verse 30. And having said this, the sovereign stood up as well as the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. Verse 31, and having withdrawn, they spoke to each other, saying, this man is doing none at all deserving death or chains. Verse 32, and Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been released if he had not appealed to Caesar. Because they were going to send him to Caesar anyway. He was going to Rome. He was going to Rome. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Okay. That ends chapter 26. Let's get into chapter 27. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Shaul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a captain of the Augustan regiment. Verse 2. And having embarked in a ship from Adramyttium, about to sail along the coasts of Asia, did set sail. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. Verse 3. And on the next day we landed at Zidon, and Julius treated Shaul kindly and allowed him to go to his friends to receive attention. Verse 4. And from there we put out to sea and sailed close to Cyprus because the winds were against us. Verse 5. And having sailed over the sea along Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Mura of Lucia. Verse 6. And there the captain, having found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, did put us on board. Verse 7. And having sailed slowly many days and arriving with difficulty off Cnidos, the wind not allowing us to proceed, we sailed close to Crete off Salmone. Verse 8. And passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lasea. Verse 9. And much time having passed, and the sailing now being dangerous because the fast was already over, Shaul advised them, now that's the Day of Atonement, okay? Saying, men, I see that this voyage is going to end with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Verse 11. But the captain was persuaded by the pilot and the owner of the ship rather than what Shaul said. Verse 12. And because the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the greater part advised to set sail from there too, if somehow they were able to reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete facing southwest and northwest, to pass the winter. Verse 13. And a south wind blowing softly, thinking they had obtained their purpose, having lifted anchor, they sailed along Crete close inshore. Verse 14. And not long after, a stormy headwind rushed down from it, called Northeaster. Verse 15. And when the ship was caught in it and unable to head against the wind, we let her go and were driven. Verse 16. And having run under a small island called Clauda, we were hardly able to control the small boat. Verse 17. And having hoisted it, they used helps to undergird the ship. And fearing lest they should run aground on Syrtis, they lowered the tackle and so were driven. Verse 18. And because we were exceedingly storm-tossed, the next day they began to throw overboard. They were going to lighten the ship, okay? Verse 19. And on the third day, we threw out the ship's tackle with our own hands. Verse 20. When, now, neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm beat on us, all expectancy that we would be saved was taken away. Verse 21. And when there had been a long abstinence from food, then Shaul, standing in the midst of them, said, truly, man, you should have listened to me, not to have sailed from Crete and sustained this damage and loss. Verse 22. And now I urge you to take courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Verse 23, for tonight a messenger of the Elohim to whom I belong and whom I serve stood by me, verse 24, saying, do not be afraid, Shaul. You have to be brought before Caesar, and look, Elohim has favorably given you all those who sail with you. Verse 25, therefore, take courage, men, for I believe Elohim that it shall be according to the way it was spoken to me. Verse 26. However, we need to run aground on some island. Verse 27. And when the 14th night came, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were drawing near some land. In other words, they were just blown all over the place in the storm. Back and forth. Verse 28. So taking soundings, they found it to be 20 fathoms. And a little farther on, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Verse 29, and fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and were praying for day to come. Verse 30, but when the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under pretense of going to cast out anchors from the prow, in other words, the small boat, lifeboat, okay, verse 31. Shaul said to the captain and the soldiers, "If these do not remain in the ship, it is impossible for you to be saved." Verse 32. Then the soldiers did cut the ropes of the boat and let it fall off. So much for the lifeboat. Boom, splash. Verse 33. And when day was about to come, Shaul urged them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day you have continued without food and eaten none at all." Verse 34. "So I urge you to take food, for this concerns your safety, since not a hair shall fall from the head of any of you." Verse 35. And having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to Elohim in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Verse 36. And they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And all of us were 276 beings in the ship. Verse 38. And being satisfied with food, they were lightening the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. It was carrying wheat. Okay. Verse 39. And when day came, they did not recognize the land, but they noted a certain bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. Verse 40. And having cast off the anchors, they left them in the sea, meanwhile untying the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. That's the little sail up in the front of the boat, okay, the foresail. Verse 41. But coming upon a place where two seas met, they grounded the ship, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was broken by the pounding of the surf. Verse 42. And the soldiers intended to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. Verse 43. But the captain, intending to save Shaul, kept them from their intention and commanded those able to swim to jump first and get to land. Verse 44. And the rest, some indeed on boards and some on items of the ship, and so it came to be that all reached the land in safety. If they couldn't swim, they would float on wood things. That ends chapter 27. Now we have chapter 28. And this is the last chapter of the book of Acts. Verse 1 of chapter 28. And having come to safety, they then learned that the island was called Melite. Verse 2. And the foreigners showed us extraordinary kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us all, because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Verse 3. But Shaul, having gathered a bundle of sticks and having laid them on the fire, an adder came out, that's a poisonous serpent, came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. It bit him. Okay, poisonous snake. Verse 4. And when the foreigners saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man is certainly a murderer, whom, though saved from the sea, still right ruling does not allow to live. Verse 5, then indeed he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no evil. He was protected by Yahweh. Verse 6, and expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, they waited for a long time and saw no harm come to him. Changing their minds, they said that he was a mighty one. Now that would be a little g god, okay? Verse 7. And in the neighborhood of that place there were the lands of the chief of the island, whose name was Poplius, who received us and housed us in a friendly way for 3 days. Verse 8. And it came to be that the father of Poplius lay sick with inflammation and dysentery. Shaul went in to him, and having prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. Verse 9. And when this took place, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Verse 10, who also respected us in many ways, and when we were setting sail, they provided us with our needs. Verse 11, and after 3 months, we set sail in an Alexandrian ship which had wintered at the island, and whose figurehead was Dioscuri. And that means twin brothers, and those were sons of Zeus. That's Castor and Pollux, okay? Those were the deities of the sailors, pagan deities. Let me get a little hit of coffee here. Verse 12, and having landed at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. Verse 13, from which place we went round and arrived at Rhegium, and after 1 day the south wind blew, and the second day we came to Puteoli. Verse 14, where we found brothers, okay, Christian brethren, okay, and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. Verse 15. And when the brothers there heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Forum of Appius and 3 taverns. When Shaul saw them, he thanked Elohim and took courage. Verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the captain delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Shaul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier guarding him. Verse 17. And it came to be after 3 days that Shaul called the leaders of the Yehudim together. And when they had come together, he said to them, men, brothers, though I have done none at all against our people or the practices of our fathers, I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Verse 18, who when they had examined me intended to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. Verse 19, but the Yehudim spoke against it, and I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any accusation against my nation. And you can reference Acts chapter 25, verse 11 on that, Acts 25, 11. Verse 20. This, therefore, is the reason I called for you to see you and speak to you. It is because of the expectation of Israel that I am bound with this chain. Verse 21. And they said to him, we neither received letters from Yehuda concerning you, nor have any of the brothers who came reported or spoken whatever wicked about you. Verse 22. verse 22. And we think it is right to hear from you what you think, for indeed, concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. They were persecuting the Christians, okay? Verse 23. And having appointed him a day, many came to him where he was staying, to whom he was explaining, earnestly witnessing about the reign of Elohim, and persuading them concerning Yahshua from both the Torah of Moshe and the prophets from morning until evening. He was just preaching away. Verse 24, and some indeed were persuaded by what was said, but some believed not. Okay, verse 25. And disagreeing with one another, they began to leave after Shaul had spoken one word. The set-apart spirit rightly spoke through Yeshayahu the prophet to our fathers. Verse 26 and 27, reference Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. Verse 26, go to this people and say, hearing you shall hear, but by no means understand, and seeing you shall see, but by no means perceive. Verse 27, for the heart of this people has become thickened, and with their ears they heard heavily, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn back, and I should heal them. Verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that the deliverance of Elohim has been sent to the nations, and they shall hear. That's the nations in dispersion. Verse 29. And when he had said these words, the Yahudim went away and had a great dispute among themselves, of the Judeans in Rome. Not Jews, Judeans. Verse 30. And Shaul stayed 2 entire years in his own rented house and was receiving all who came to him. Verse 31. Proclaiming the reign of Elohim and teaching about the Master Yeshua Messiah with all boldness unhindered. And that ends chapter 28 and the book of Acts. So that is the story in the book of Acts. On the next show, we will begin the book of Romans. So I hope that you have enjoyed these readings in the book of Acts. And I know I have enjoyed reading them. And this ongoing series has gone very, very well. I'm very pleased. And these are marvelous, marvelous scriptures. And they recount all the greatness of Yahweh and Yeshua and his chosen messengers. That's about it for today. I have less than 6 minutes, but thank you for listening, and I will catch you on the next show when we will begin the book of Romans, and that will be show number 447. Praise Yahweh, and may he bless and keep you. Oh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him. Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.